We didn't want them too outrageous, of course, being the BBC with all the background that went with it. Stuart Henry was thought to be fairly avant-garde because he always wore caftans. And Roscoe, of course, he was beyond the pale. Only Derek Chinnery took a chance with him. The others, of course, they're well-spoken chaps, really. I mean, they all had a good education. Somebody like Keith Skews, you couldn't go far wrong with. I mean, he was in the best traditions of Roger Moffat, who was already working for us. Pete Brady, you know, well-spoken, good-looking young man. Wouldn't offend anybody, wouldn't upset your grandmother. Tony Blackburn. I mean, Tony was young, good-looking, shiny teeth, shiny hair. He was actually sort of the boy next door, wasn't he? And that was the sort of image we were going for when we started the station.
Woke up one morning, half asleep, with all my blankets in a heap, and yellow roses scattered all around.
The BBC was really faced with two problems. I mean, firstly, the musicians' union quite naturally expected their members to continue in employment. I mean, their members, after all, had been very well used on the live programme days to playing in bands like Bob Miller, Joe Loss. But, of course, they could only do covers of the current hits, and that's not quite the same as the original artists. And secondly, the BBC, like every other legal station, can't play records all day long. The real piracy of the pirates was that they were not conforming to these legal limitations about the number of records that could be played in any one day. And we couldn't compete, really, because we were limited and had to fill in the gaps when we couldn't play records with recordings made in our own studios.